sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today we're going to talk about 9/11 and the fabricated global war on terror and its latest manifestation in Syria. The 9/11 truth movement is quite large and growing, and I don't think you can fully understand what's going on in the world today if you don't understand that you've been totally lied to about 9/11 and the fabricated global war on terror. So today you're going to hear a collage of speakers addressing 9/11 and this fabricated global war on terrorism. Last week, President Trump not only illegally bombed Syria, he also bombed Afghanistan with the huge mother of all bombs. This has made him very popular in certain circles in our country, like with the corporate media. TV reporter Brian Williams thought the bomb looked beautiful. Thankfully, many of the American people are not buying into it. Although many of our congressmen do, including our own John Larson, he thinks the bombing of Syria was an appropriate and proportionate response to the Syrians' alleged sarin gas attack. He supported the U.S. attacking Syria based on flimsy evidence and even before an investigation was carried out. I want to ask you all to check out Tulsi Gabbard. She seems to be one of the few people in Congress who's actually got a brain and courage. And also, if you would go to brandnewcongress.com, there's a whole group of young people there who want to get rid of Congress entirely in the 2018 election, and they have a plan to do so. I would encourage you to check it out. So it's brandnewcongress.com. So we'll start today's show with a clip by actor Daniel Sunjata discussing the 9/11 truth movement.
A recent Associated Press GFK poll revealed that almost 6 Americans out of 10 oppose the Afghanistan war, for which they see no end in sight. This poll has given even further impetus to the 9/11 truth movement, which is comprised of thousands of people in the United States and around the world who reject the official account of the 9/11 attacks, which served as justification for the Afghanistan war in the first place. The truth movement draws its conclusions on the factual findings of an impressive list of highly qualified researchers who have compiled a solid body of evidence contradicting every major aspect of the official account and casting doubt on the true source and motives behind the 9/11 attacks. It is therefore as patriots and as concerned citizens that the 9/11 truth movement asks for a truly independent, transparent investigation to finally answer the many still unresolved questions surrounding the tragic crimes of September 11, 2001. As admitted by the co-chair of the 9/11 Commission himself,
I don't believe for a minute that we got everything right. People will be investigating 9/11 for the next 100 years in this country, and they're going to find out some things that we missed.
For this purpose, various associations of professionals have been formed in the 9 years since 9/11. Among them are Pilots for 9/11 Truth, listing hundreds of former air controllers, civil and military pilots, and aviation experts from all over the world. Firefighters for 9/11 Truth, journalists and other media professionals for 9/11 Truth, intelligence officers for 9/11 Truth, including former top CIA analysts and former British Secret Service agents. Lawyers for 9/11 Truth. Medical professionals for 9/11 Truth. Political leaders for 9/11 Truth, including members of the Japanese Parliament, former state and defense secretaries from different countries, and the honorary president of the Italian Supreme Court. Religious leaders for 9/11 Truth. Veterans for 9/11 Truth. Architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, counting over 1,200 architectural and engineering professionals. 3 new groups have just been formed and have been announced on September 9th in joint press conferences in New York and Los Angeles. They are Actors and Artists for 9/11 Truth, which includes theater and film actors, playwriters, novelists, screenwriters, film and stage directors, singers, composers, and music performers from all over the world. Scientists for 9/11 Truth, with more than 60 signatories between astrophysicists, biologists, biochemists, medical scientists, chemists, computer scientists, ecologists, geologists, geophysicists, mathematicians, physicists, and science professors from all over the world. And U.S. military officers for 9/11 Truth, with Air Force pilots, Army, Navy, and defense experts questioning the military aspects of the official version of 9/11. All these people have looked at the evidence available and have become convinced that a new investigation is absolutely necessary to make sure that events like 9/11 never happen again in our country.
The clip you just heard with Daniel Sunjata was recorded in 2010. Now there are 2,800-plus architects and engineers demanding a new investigation into 9/11, up from the 1,200 he mentioned in 2010. People often say to me, if we were lied to about 9/11, wouldn't there be lots of whistleblowers? Well, there are, and you're going to hear from one of them right now. This is former high-level FBI agent Ted Gunderson.
I'm Ted L. Gunderson, a 27-year veteran of the FBI who retired in March of 1979. At the time of my retirement, I was the senior special agent in charge of the FBI Los Angeles Division with more than 700 personnel under my command and a budget of $22.5 million. I was an agent on the street for 9.5 years, and then I advanced administratively. I was a supervisor, and then I was numbers two man in Connecticut and Philadelphia, and assistant special agent in charge was the title. And then I became a chief inspector, and then I was agent in charge in Memphis, Dallas, and the senior special agent in charge in Los Angeles, because I had three other special agents in charge under me and 24 supervisors under them. I have information chiseled in stone, documented, that the FBI had advanced knowledge about the 911 and did nothing to prevent this from occurring. And this is atrocious, it's unbelievable, having been a former FBI agent myself, and it's very obvious that this whole thing is being orchestrated by the powers that be at the highest level of our government, and I want the world to know about it. The minute I saw the planes fly in to the tower on television, live as a matter of fact, the question I had in my mind was, there is no way, absolutely no way, that somebody could skyjack four planes, 20 people skyjack four planes, in this case 19 individuals, and our government would not know about it in advance. We have, the U.S. government, the most advanced intelligence techniques of anybody in the world, and you'll never convince me we didn't have advanced knowledge about what was going on. We saw the airplanes go in, and it's also a question about whether they're remotely controlled. I don't know about that. I hate to comment on something where I have no documentation, but there's much more to this story than has come out so far. You will never in a million years convince me that those buildings, those towers, collapsed because those planes hit them. I'm confident that they were imploded. As a matter of fact, there were seismograph readings, they think from the basement, two of them, about the time that the buildings collapsed. There were also molten steel that was in the basement, which is a very high temperature for melting steel, and those planes hit above the 80th floor, so there's no way that that airplane fuel could have dropped down that low. Also, there were fires that burned in the basement for some 100 days afterwards. So there's some implication, there's some finagling, there's some maneuvering, as far as I'm concerned, and there are many, many more people involved in this than these so-called skyjackers and terrorists. The anti-terrorism legislation was written back in the middle 1980s under the George Bush Sr. administration. A female Department of Justice attorney, who was one of the authors, made the statement publicly, before this passes Congress, people have to be killed. Now, if we fast forward to World Trade Center car bombing in February 1993, at that time, the FBI had a 43-year-old former Egyptian army officer as an informant who was in with the terrorists. He was commissioned by the terrorists to put the bomb together. He went to his FBI superiors, we're going to use a dummy bomb, right? And they said, no, we're going to use a real bomb. So the FBI not only knew in advance that they were going to bomb the World Trade Center, they furnished the ingredients for the bomb, which is absolutely unbelievable that they get away with this. What's unbelievable about it is this was actually printed in the New York Times on October 28, 1993. But they got away with it. And if I was a congressman or senator, I would demand an investigation. Why would the FBI furnish the ingredients for the bomb that brought down or that had damaged the World Trade Center in February 1993. We had six people killed there. We had 1,000 people injured. We had a total of 6 citizens who died in the February 1993 World Trade Center car bombing. We had 1,000 individuals who were injured. We had $500,000 in damage. But there weren't enough people who died to pass the anti-terrorism legislation. So now we fast forward to April 19th, 1995, Oklahoma City bombing. We had 169 people who died, probably 169 because there was one leg they never did identify. And a year later, the anti-terrorism legislation passed. Now, it wasn't tough enough. I can't prove that there were explosives that were placed in the World Trade Center in the 911 situation. However, from what I've seen, an expert on implosions from Albuquerque, New Mexico, who worked for the government as under government contract, stated immediately afterwards that the buildings were imploded. And then he retracted his statement and said, well, maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But basically, now he's saying that they weren't imploded. But other experts who have looked at the pictures say that the buildings were imploded. I think that in order to implode those buildings, there had to be implications, government implications or involvement in placing these charges. I mean, that was a tremendous project. I mean, I don't know how many people would be involved in that. Going back to Oklahoma City, an inside investigator told me there were at least 11 other people involved in the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, if you have 11 other people involved in Oklahoma City, you're going to have 3 or 4 times that involved in the World Trade Center situation.
And now here's former CIA asset Susan Lindauer, who spoke here a few years back, discussing how some of the bombs got into the World Trade Center buildings.
Video cameras caught trucks arriving at the World Trade Center from about August 23rd until every night until about September 2nd, September 3rd. And the trucks were arriving at about 3 o'clock in the morning when everybody else had left the building, including the janitorial trucks. And the trucks were leaving at 5 a.m. right before the AAA personalities of Wall Street got to work to start their day. Something was brought into that building that would help with the detonation. There may have been work done on the detonation before. It may have been going on for months, but whatever they needed at the very end, they came and brought in that 10-day period. That's what we think happened. The airplane hijackings were a cover for the controlled demolition, which was undertaken by a small group of people, probably just 4 or 5 people. We are never going to know who they are, and it's not worth looking for them. And in August of 2001, I was told to stay out of New York City because the attack was considered imminent. We expected mass casualties and a possible miniature thermonuclear strike, bomb. However, I want to be very clear. The attack was always defined as airplane hijackings and a strike on the World Trade Center.
And now you'll hear from Dr. Stephen Pachenik, who was Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and held other government posts. He also helped John le Carré write his 26 novels.
The reason I came forth and I said I warned Bush Jr. and Cheney and Rumsfeld, you will pay for the crimes you've committed against the American public, and part of that is this nonsense of Osama bin Laden being the leader of some nonsensical group that we created under the Carter administration, was fostered through tens of years and going into Pakistan through a nonsensical war that didn't exist to allow men and women to die. They ran the attacks. The 9/11 is a total manufacture of one organization, the White House, under Bush Jr. Bush Jr., Cheney, Rumsfeld, Tommy Halazad, Elliot Abe, now at the CFR. The event of 9/11 was carried out for one purpose. It was carried out to mobilize the American public to go to a war that they didn't need to go to, that they knew nothing about, where we had pre-positioned soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq 6 to 9 months beforehand. And what it was done, it was based on Paul Wolfowitz's, Dick Cheney, Bush Jr., Steve Hadley, Elliot Abrams, Tommy Halazad, Dennis Ross, who's now our Stell envoy, who's never been held accountable. You have Condoleezza Rice. You have all the people who were in the military, particularly the Air Force generals who were involved. They can deny it any much they want, but I have a whole list of names. They know who they are. And the intel, the CIA operatives who worked under SOLIC, Special Operations Low Intensity Conflict, were all involved. in what's called a stand down, a false flag operation in order to mobilize the American public on the false pretense that we were attacked by Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, which was an absolute unmitigated lie. It was told to me even by the general on the staff of Wolfowitz, I will go in front of a federal committee and swear on perjury who the name was of the individual so that we could break it open. I was furious. I knew what had happened. I taught stand down and false flag operations at the National War College. I taught it with all my operatives, so I knew exactly what was done to the American public. Believe it or not, I had worked on George Bush Jr.'s campaign with Bob Zelig, not with the Vulcans, but with Bob Zelig in order to work against Gore, which I regret today because I had been loyal to his father. And that issue of Osama bin Laden, that had already, who had already been dead, really brought up the issue of the great lie and the great war that was created for us to make sure that we had some type of commitment to a war that was not necessary, where blood and guts were shed for unnecessary reasons. I told you Osama bin Laden was dead in 2002. I wasn't hypothesizing. I knew it because he had Marfan syndrome. I knew the CIA had investigated, had treated him in a Dubai hospital, an American hospital. They can deny anything they want. That's all they do.
And if you want to look Dr. Stephen Pechenik up online, his last name is spelled P-I-E-C-Z-E-N-I-K. Again, P-I-E-C-Z-E-N-I-K. And now you're going to hear something from James Corbett of thecorbettreport.com. This is his five-minute presentation called 9/11, A Conspiracy Theory. And here it is.
On the morning of September 11th, 2001, 19 men armed with box cutters directed by a man on dialysis in a cave fortress halfway around the world using a satellite phone and a laptop directed the most sophisticated penetration of the most heavily defended airspace in the world, overpowering the passengers and the military combat trained pilots on four commercial aircraft before flying those planes wildly off course for over an hour without being molested by a single fighter interceptor. These 19 hijackers, devout religious fundamentalists who like to drink alcohol, snort cocaine, and live with pink-haired strippers, managed to knock down three buildings with two planes in New York. While in Washington, a pilot who couldn't handle a single-engine Cessna was able to fly a 757 in an 8,000-foot descending 270-degree corkscrew turn to come exactly level with the ground, hitting the Pentagon in the budget analyst office where DOD staffers were working on the mystery of the $2.3 trillion that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld had announced missing from the Pentagon's coffers in a press conference the day before, on September 10th, 2001. Luckily, the news anchors knew who did it within minutes.
Osama bin Laden.
The pundits knew within hours.
Osama bin Laden.
The administration knew within the day.
Terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them.
And the evidence literally fell into the FBI's lap.
That a hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
But for some reason, a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists demanded an investigation into the greatest attack on American soil in history. That investigation was delayed, underfunded, set up to fail, a conflict of interest, and a cover-up from start to finish. It was based on testimony extracted through torture, the records of which were destroyed. It failed to mention the existence of WTC-7, Able Danger, PTEC, Sibel Edmonds, OBL and the CIA, and the drills of hijacked aircraft being flown into buildings that were being simulated at the precise same time that those events were actually happening. It was lied to by the Pentagon, the CIA, the Bush administration, and as for Bush and Cheney, well, no one knows what they told it because they testified in secret, off the record, not under oath, and behind closed doors. It didn't bother to look at who funded the attacks because that question is ultimately of little practical significance. Still, the 9/11 Commission did brilliantly, answering all of the questions the public had, except most of the victims' family members' questions, and pinned blame on all the people responsible, although no one so much as lost their job, determining the attacks were
failure of imagination.
Because
nobody in our government, at least, and I don't think the prior government that could envision flying airplanes into buildings.
Except the Pentagon, FEMA, NORAD, and the NRO. The DIA destroyed 2.5 terabytes of data on Able Danger, but that's okay because it probably wasn't important. The SEC destroyed their records on the investigation into the insider trading before the attacks, but that's okay because destroying the records of the largest investigation in SEC history is just part of routine record keeping. NIST has classified the data that they used for their model of WTC-7's collapse, but that's okay because knowing how they made their model of the collapse would jeopardize public safety. The FBI has argued that all material related to their investigation of 9/11 should be kept secret from the public, but that's okay because the FBI probably has nothing to hide. This man never existed, nor is anything he had to say worthy of your attention, and if you say otherwise, you are a paranoid conspiracy theorist and deserve to be shunned by all of humanity. Likewise, him, 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 and her. And her, and her, and him. Osama bin Laden lived in a cave fortress in the hills of Afghanistan, but somehow got away. Then he was hiding out in Tora Bora, but somehow got away. Then he lived in Abbottabad for years, taunting the most comprehensive intelligence dragnet employing the most sophisticated technology in the history of the world for a decade, releasing video after video with complete impunity and getting younger and younger as he did so, before finally being found in a daring SEAL team raid which wasn't recorded on video, in which he didn't resist or use his wife as a human shield, and in which these crack special forces operatives panicked and killed this unarmed man, supposedly the best source of intelligence about those dastardly terrorists on the entire planet. Then they dumped his body in the ocean before telling anyone about it. Then a couple dozen of that team's members died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan. This is the story of 9/11, brought to you by the media which told you the hard truths about
his head could be seen to move violently forward.
And
they took the babies out of the incubators.
And
mobile production facilities.
And
the rescue of Jessica Lynch.
If you have any questions about this story, you are a bat paranoid tinfoil dog abusing baby hater and will be reviled by everyone. If you love your country and or freedom, happiness, rainbows, rock and roll, puppy dogs, apple pie, and your grandma, you will never ever express doubts about any part of this story to anyone. Ever. This has been a public service announcement by the friends of the FBI, CIA, NSA, DIA, SEC, MSM, White House, NIST, and the 9/11 Commission. Because ignorance is strength.
And now here's General Wesley Clark talking about how the 9/11 wars were already planned right after 9/11, if not before.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the Joint Staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No." He says, "We've made the decision we're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, no. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs," meaning the Secretary of Defense's office, "today." And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran." The truth is about the Middle East is, had there been no oil there, there's no question that the presence of petroleum throughout the region has sparked great power involvement. Whether that was the specific motivation for the coup or not, I can't tell you, but there was definitely, there's always been this attitude that somehow we could intervene and use force in the region.
And now you'll hear from Massachusetts Institute of Technology Professor Theodore Postol challenging the declassified intelligence briefing released by the government after the bombing of Syria that is supposed to provide the evidence that Syria gassed its own people.
The White House report, it cites a physical evidence. It talks about a crater where it claims there is ammunition. Well, as it turns out, I have been studying this particular possibility for quite a while. And my conclusion is that if this is a real crater, remember that there is a lot of tampering with evidence. But if I accept the White House claim, which is that the evidence is real, then the munition that they're talking about was not dropped from an airplane. It was put on the ground and it was some kind of improvised dispersal munition. And in my report, I show roughly what this munition would have had to look like, again, assuming that the evidence was not tampered with. Now, that's not my assumption, I want to underscore. That's the White House assumption. So on many levels, the White House report really doesn't meet, quite frankly, the laugh test. It assumes that this photographic evidence was not tampered with, which I think is a long way, is a big assumption. It then misinterprets the photographic evidence and comes to a conclusion that is the opposite of what they're claiming. And speaking as an American citizen, I must say I want to know who signed off on this report. I think that this report was almost certainly politically motivated. My personal guess, is that there is no intelligence officer in the United States service who's worth anything in terms of their reputation who would have signed off on this report.
So just to summarize, and maybe add a few more points, millions and millions of people around the globe and in all walks of life do not believe the official conspiracy theory of 9/11. And there is mountains of research and evidence that supports their doubts. There are also numerous government whistleblowers out there, but you won't hear about them in the complicit, controlled, corrupt, CIA-infested corporate media. Congress, for the most part, goes along with the cover-up. Since 9/11 was a false flag event, then it stands to reason that the 9/11 wars, the global war on terrorism, are also lies, fabrications, all planned well in advance. This has actually been well documented by many researchers. Many countries and corporations benefit from endless war and a destabilized oil-rich Middle East. And since the Russians entered Syria and helped Syria expel ISIS and regain much of their territory, Russia and Putin also have been vilified. And the latest lame attempt to blame Syria for a gas attack without providing proof or any evidence, and then bombing Syria, is just more of the same. Fraudulent events and fabricated stories. It doesn't matter who's president, Democrat, Republican. The deep state, the shadow government, gets what it wants. And the same warmongering policies prevail. Until we can figure out how to expose and jail these deep state players, we'll get more of the same. Assassinations of anyone who challenges the system, more false flag events to garner public support, and endless war. And the most troubling part of all of this for me is that the U.S. and its many allies are killing and maiming and making refugees out of millions and millions of people based on lies to reach their goal of full-spectrum dominance of the world. That is truly evil. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.